Okay, we're here with Jesper Olsen, and he's a man that just ran all the way around the world. So is probably someone you haven't heard of before, but I have the opportunity and the honor to interview him. It's only been 1 week, right?
Yeah.
And you started where?
Well, I started the second world run from Nordkapp in Norway, and that is the northernmost point in Europe. And from there on, I proceeded down through Scandinavia, running through all the countries there, then through Europe and Eastern Europe. It was a great experience, Eastern Europe. Then through the Middle East, much more peaceful than it is now. It was a great run through the Middle East. And then through the Sinai Desert into Africa, and then straight through Africa from Egypt down to South Africa, where I finished at the southernmost point, which is called Cape of Good Hope. It's just south of Cape Town.
And you were all done then? That was the end?
Then I was done with the first half.
First half.
And then I had some small treatment from malaria. I caught some malaria in East Africa. And, well, some dysenteria, amoebic dysenteria, and two operations in my right arm. But when all that was fixed and I was ready to go again, then I proceeded to the southernmost point in South America, Punta Arenas in Chile. And from there on, that was now in 2011, I reached that the 1st of January. Then I started running northbound after running 2 years south and north, from Punta Arenas all the way up through South America until I reached the northern point, which is Puerto Bolivar in Colombia. And from there on, then remained the last continent in North America, and by then I was pretty tired. I had 30,000 kilometers by then, and
wow,
3 years of running. So, but still from there, then to Key West in USA. That's the southern point on the east coast of North America.
Right.
And then just running straight up along the east coast of USA and North America until I reached Newfoundland at the northeastern point of North America, that's in Canada.
Wow.
So that was about, a week ago I finished that.
And that took how long?
It took 4 years and 28 days, exactly.
Wow. Wow. And this is not the first time you've done this?
No, it's not. In 2004 to 2005, I did the first documented run around the world. I started from Greenwich in London. I am from Denmark, obviously. We're here in Copenhagen,
yes.
Central. But I did that to honor the classical explorers.
Right.
Much more difficult things, unknown things that I have done here. And they often started from Greenwich back in the times. So I started from Greenwich there. And then running up through Scandinavia and straight through Russia and Siberia.
Wow.
Reaching Vladivostok. And then across Japan, which to my surprise became one of the most difficult part, a very short run, 8 days straight across Japan. And then proceeding, slightly shocked, to Australia.
Wow.
And then running from Sydney to Perth, straight across Australia. It was a great run down there also, very friendly people also. And then flying to LA from there, and starting from LAX or Dogweiler Beach at LA, and then the last continent running from LA to New York, though first running the west coast up to by San Francisco up to Vancouver, across the Rocky Mountains to Calgary, then across the prairies halfway to Winnipeg,
wow,
and then from Winnipeg down to the States again by Chicago and the Great Lakes, and then out to New York, finishing in New York, and then flying to Ireland, running across Ireland, and running then from Liverpool back to Greenwich, where I started out 2 years and 1 year and 10 months earlier. So
wow,
that's the first world run.
Wow.
Much, much easier than the second one, I would like to say. So.
And so why did you do that? Why did you do the first and why did you do the second?
The first one, it's more simple to explain. It was because no one had done that before. Nobody has had, or some that had tried, but no one had proper documented to do a run straight around the world. And, you know, I've been long distance runner since I was a small kid. Did my first marathon when I was 15 years old. That's a little bit early, but, you know, I was training with guys that were 40 and 30 years old. They all ran marathon. I thought, well, why not? And it wasn't that difficult. So, anyways, so when I heard nobody had done it, I was in my late 20s, and I thought, if you should attempt this, it got to be now, not in 20 years when somebody else has done it and you've got family and kids.
Right.
So I set out, and luckily, very, very luckily, the legs held out, the mentality held out, and not least, I was very surprised. Now, my background is a master's in political science with international politics at Copenhagen University. So both myself and many of my good friends from political science in Denmark told me that, you know, there's no end to how many times you will be robbed of your possessions and you will be, you know, attacked from people and across Siberia and Australia, North America. You know, Denmark is a small country and often we in the news we view the outside world as dangerous and big and what have you.
Right.
And I'll tell you this, when I came back after this first world run, first of all, I had the record, which obviously as a sportsman I was very, very pleased with. But even more so, I was extremely happy to have experienced, both as a human being but also as a political scientist, that I had literally not one bad incident with other persons running 26,000 kilometers straight around the world.
Wow.
That was for me really, really interesting.
Yeah. And the second time?
That's almost the answer. After having done that, I was at home for about 2.5 years doing lectures. I'm doing now lectures, and I did a book in Danish of the first world run. But often, and people were very interested, but often they asked me, especially again, my friends and some of the professional political science said, yeah, you know, but you did the Western world, you know, Europe,
yeah.
Okay, Russia, Siberia, it's difficult, but still
right.
Australia, the Western world, North America, you're saying Canada.
Right.
So, I mean, it's almost the same culture. So
right.
obviously it would not have been possible if you ran in like Africa, or the Middle East, or I mean, Colombia
the
and South
challenge.
America.
The new challenge.
Yeah, that kind of thing you must not say to an extreme runner, because then you say, all right, then let's do it. So I used again about 2 years to prepare the logistics. I do that each time for these world runs, go over every single stage, and you probably know that even more, you know, as a traveler, the visa requirements, all the things that you need,
yes.
the finance, the logistics, everything, timing, seasons, and also hooking up the local runners. I like to share my run with them. Anyways, so most of all, it was to prove that not. First of all, this time to become, again, the first person to set some record, actually the last record that remained of running across some continent, this and that.
Right.
But much more to prove that the world is a far more friendly place than what you see at the 8 o'clock news.
Yeah.
There you'll see 90-95% of conflicts and disasters. And of course it happens, but when you run straight across the continents, and I'm sure you've experienced also trekking across, it is probably about 90-95% of the time that people are friendly, if not even more.
Yes.
The picture we get of the world in the news, it's interesting, it's dramatic, it's a good story, but the world is, in my experience, by far a much, much more friendly place. And that was for me a very interesting thing to prove, because if the world was as dangerous as you see it on TV, if there was all these conflicts, if the Muslims were very, very aggressive towards Christians, if Colombia was a place where you'd kidnap Westerners and shoot them.
Right.
If Africa is full of the disasters and drought and it's difficult to get food and water almost everywhere, then I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you
right.
today, obviously. So, much, much better place than you know, it's rumors to be.
Are you writing a book?
Yeah, actually, I come just from a meeting, my first meeting with a publisher for this time. So, we're setting up the framework, but it will be, yeah, we just talked about it. It might be ready by spring, summer next year. So it's a long process also.
So you have to actually put pen to paper and write that.
Yeah, I look forward to it because, again, as probably you and people that follow your website are aware, there's so extremely many daily experiences.
Right.
And it's nice to afterwards take a step back and get the big overview, the big idea of what was actually you've been doing.
Right. Now, when you're actually running, how much traffic is there? How many cars? This, like Africa, for example. I've been to Africa several times, and what I see is a lot of lorries, lots and lots of lorries, and they're going back and forth, dodging the potholes. That sounds kind of dangerous.
That's a very sharp observation. Many people, they think when they ask me, oh, wasn't it dangerous with the animals in Africa, or, you know, the militia maybe in Colombia, and what have you, mudslides and tsunamis, but you are absolutely right that the most difficult, the most dangerous thing for, I guess, any traveler, and especially for a cross-continent runner or any kind of runner, is the traffic. You need to be not on your toes for 10 seconds. If you're unlucky, you'll be hit right there because you're not paying attention.
Wow.
So that's something to be really careful about, no matter whether you're running or walking or what you're doing on the roads. But to my surprise, it's true, the traffic is chaotic in Africa, but it's much less intense. In Africa, there'll be like 2,000 or 3,000 kilometers, about 1,500-2,000 miles between any big city.
Right.
So for about 1 to 2 months, I'm running on quiet dirt roads, one small village, 50 people, 200 people. They have some bicycles. Maybe they have a truck coming by every week. So I only have to watch out for one truck each week. So I'll tell you this, Europe, America, USA,
yeah.
and most of all, Japan is the most dangerous places. Because of the traffic.
Oh, wow.
There you really got to watch out, simply because we have much more traffic in our part of the world. So,
Excellent.
And by the way, people are not used to seeing anyone on foot. In Africa, half of the people travel by foot, as you've
yes,
seen.
Yes, right.
And in Asia also, run through Philadelphia or through Boston,
yeah.
you might not see anyone else that's running, at least not along the highway or the interstate.
No, we have a car culture, that's
exactly.
for sure.
And as you've seen, the same pretty much here in Europe.
Yes, yes. What did you think about while you were running? Did you have little games that you played that kept your mind busy, or you have different things, that different phases that you went through?
That's a very interesting question, because you have a lot of, how could you say, alone time for yourself. And right. I'm sure you also have when you travel this long. And for my part, one of my main hobbies besides running and competitive running and ultra running is philosophy. So and you rarely get a better chance to really dwell on some of the big questions than when you've been running a few hours and you have a few hours left, and maybe you're running in the Sahara Desert, so it's totally quiet and you don't have anything to worry about except your support car and water, and then you can just, you know, dwell on things. So
but
definitely besides that, no, I often try to think about the experiences I've had during the day, people I meet along the road, wherever I'm running in the world.
Right.
And a little bit about the climate, the culture, and of course also the logistics I have to plan, as you have to plan the next week, the next month, the next year ahead. And then I do a blog also, worldrun.org. So every day it's small text in English.
Okay, and how did you document your running?
Yeah, it's a very important part, because there has been people that has attempted these kind of runs, and sometimes, even though ultra running is very much a culture of honor, we don't have that much money. I was very, very lucky to have a full financial sponsorship for this run, but normally we don't, even for the world championship, you get a handshake, and that's your reward for winning a world championship 100K run.
Right.
So it's much more honor-based, but once in a while there comes around long runners that might not have a big ultra running background. They try to fabricate runs across this or that continent, because since there's not spectators all the way, like if you did a 10,000 meter on the stadium, you can cut corners. For me, it's extremely important, the documentation. First of all, I use a GPS.
Right.
I run with a small GPS system. I can show you here actually while we're talking, that tracks every kilometer or every mile of the run. And then every day I upload the track. It's the one you can see here. You can see it's time, it's in Danish time and distance. Right now it says zero, but if we look at the backlog, then you can see the finishing day, the 27th July 2012, that's a stage of 200 kilometers. So that was the last finishing
fireworks. Did 200 kilometers?
That was the finishing, well, it took 31 hours, so that was the finishing day. But else, by the way, you can see what is the average.
20 kilometers, 2 kilometers, 36 kilometers, 22 kilometers, 69 kilometers, 26 kilometers. So this is back in just a few days ago, in July.
Yeah. So that's how I documented that. I uploaded the moment I finished with the daily states. Then I have to find Wi-Fi. Yeah. As you know, I can see your smile. As you know from some places,
I have a whole article on finding internet.
There we go.
The quest for internet.
Exactly. And so very important here, because I want to document instantly for people that follow the run. And also people that think, I mean, is this human possible to do this? To immediately have the documentation up.
Right.
And besides this, I take documentation photos. I take minimum at my starting point, midway, and finishing every day, but also a lot of other pictures while I'm running, because besides that, they later on become interesting, for instance, for a book, but also at the website.
Right.
But so that's the main things to document.
Wow. So what's next? You're going to do the book, and you're speaking?
Yeah, I'm doing lectures here in Denmark mainly, but now I've just come home now, so I have to see how are the bookings. But actually, when I came home from the first World Run, I was over doing some speaking in USA and Canada also. A little bit to my surprise, because I didn't know they even were aware of it over there, but that was neat. So, but else I would like to add, because sometimes people ask me this question, are there going to be a World Run 3 and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And you know, if any of you listening to this out here happen to be a runner, then that's your chance. There's still, you know, there's still parts of the continents that hasn't been run.
Right.
There's still big chances out there.
What could you recommend? Diagonal? You've gone up and down and left and right.
Well, you know, there are a couple of islands that hasn't been run across. Madagascar, that's got to be an awesome place to run across.
Okay.
The northern part of Australia, man, that's got to be a challenge there.
Yeah.
And China. China, I did not run across.
Okay.
When I ran across Asia, I ran across Siberia.
Yeah,
which was, I mean, fantastic nature, but China must be just awesome. But now I've retired from the extreme running. Now I will look into running fast 10Ks and half marathons, because that's what I'm now curious about. So it's up to someone else to grab the last challenges there.
Okay. And how did you finance?
Well, see, always this is kind of a very important question, because how you said you've been half a year on the road, and how long time do you expect to stay?
Another 8 months.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's long time, and I think everybody can realize if it costs you a fair amount of money going on a summer holiday for 1, 2, 3 weeks to go for half a year or 4 years like the second World Run, you really need to have a really substantial financial backup. For my first world run, I didn't have that. I sold my car and my apartment, and then I took off. And then luckily I completed this, so I could do a book and do lectures and buy an apartment again.
Okay, this, so you make a little bit of money on the book and the apartment when you get or the lectures when you get back.
Exactly. But this time though, as always, once you have proven something, when you have done it, then suddenly it becomes easier.
Yeah.
And so this time actually the sponsors approached me instead, which made it much more easy.
Wow.
So they, my main sponsor, Eco, that makes running shoes and so on, they actually sponsored it fully financial, covering all financial expenses and obviously all the running shoes.
How many running shoes?
That's a good question. Actually, I have a meeting with them in 2 weeks, and then they're going to finalize the count of running shoes for their own commercial and things. But I think it's 38 shoes.
38 shoes. So how far did you go? Let's see, 38 shoes. It's
just below 1,000 kilometers per pair.
Wow.
Which is what I would recommend. I mean, they will. I'll be honest with you. They will recommend. They will say, well, our shoes can last, you know, 1,500 km, which is like about 900 miles.
Right.
But if you're a runner, always please be careful. Rotate your shoes more often because you'll get injuries when they start to be worn out.
Yes.
So rotate them as soon as you can feel that they're getting a little bit of wear out. It's much better.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time, Jespers. I really appreciate it. Good luck with the book and the lecturing.
And very good luck with the trick.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
For more information about Trekking the Planet, log on to our website at trekkingtheplanet.net.